नम ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रसाद श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामे नमस्ते सारस्वती देवी गौरवाणी निर्विशेष शून्यवाद
Sri Jiva Sri
సాగుతం హరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీ రాధా
offered even to the demigods or that of
belonging to the Supreme Lord. Any verse from the Bhagavad Gita that you remember, he is seeing everything in relation to Krishna. One who sees me. Yeah, you can say the Sanskrit and the devotees can say other disciples. Yes, come forward, Mother.
Yamam Pashati Sarata, Saram Janai Pashati, the Siaham Namanashami Satavena Pashati.
So, translation please.
Someone sees me everywhere.
Very good.
Everything in me. Or
yes, so one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. This is Krishna speaking. You see the vision of Bharat Maharaj when he was a king, he was able to see Krishna everywhere, in the oblations, in the offerings that he was doing, the sacrifices that he was ruling the kingdom with that consciousness. And then what happened? After that he was offering oblations. So then he had a lifespan of, I did the calculation, 10 million, yeah. So how many zeros are there in a million? Lot. What is that? How
six.
Much?
Six.
Six. So 1,000 times million. Okay. So. So that was his lifetime. So he had wife, children. So he divided the kingdom to his sons, gave them the responsibility, and then time for retirement came. And that's when we heard from Rikeshwari Prabhu that he returned to the forest with the aim of self-realization. Which place does exactly does he go? Just said, so you see the time, the person, what's the place, sthana, that is doing this austerity, yes?
He went to an ashram in Godavari.
He went to ashram in Godavari, okay.
Pulana?
Yes, Vishnudas. Vivek.
He went to Vanagiri
for me. He's close to his heart, that's where he comes from.
Ah!
What's so famous there?
That's the ashram of one.
Is it Pulana?
Pulana ashram, okay. That's the ashram place, and what was his object of worship? What was he worshipping? Saligram, yes, it's correct. Saligram. And the mantra that he was chanting was, anyone remembers what kind of mantras? It was described in the previous chapter.
Saligram the Gayatri Mantra.
So, his sadhana or the daily practice was to collect materials that are favorable for doing devotional service, beginning the day by chanting the Gayatri Mantra, glorifying the Sun God. The purpose is explained that he was worshipping Lord Narayan through that medium. So that was his position. Now, what is the status as of now? Who would like to describe up to the point of where he has come now? What's the
it was a big storm.
What?
It was a big storm and a mother deer gave birth to
big
a baby.
Big storm and a deer gave birth to a lady.
And abandoned the cub.
So there was a river, that's where Bharat Maharaj was sitting and doing his austerities. Daily activities were going on. So Prabhupada writes, as you are trying to progress in bhakti, Maya is also trying to set the scene for you to get distracted, get attracted to something else aside from Krishna. So natural scenery, a river, and here comes a female deer, which is pregnant, coming to drink some water. Then hears the roar of a lion, gets upright, leaps across the river, has a miscarriage, the young deer that falls in the river. So Bharat Maharaj is seeing all this. So the hero in him, the emperor, the ruler, asks Kshatriya as well. So he was compassionate, was saving us. He started to take care of the deer. Then what happened? This is still on track in Bhakti. Is the sadhana going on? Asadhana going well? On track? Yes? No? Yes? Okay. Now when did the distraction, when did that start to happen? Just so that maybe what is understanding. Was when does the distraction happen?
When he started to attach with the deer and taking care of him so much that he used to keep the deer in his lap.
Yeah.
And put the deer on his chest, sleep with him.
Yes,
so
fine.
He was so much attached.
Thank you, what's your name?
Smith.
Smith.
Okay. Yeah. So, I answered your question when he started attached. The deer, his bhakti started to deviate from the track, and to add to it, he was getting so much attached that he used to put the deer in his lap and sit and sleep with the deer on his chest.
Yeah.
So he was all into the deer when he should be in the devotion instead.
Good. So that is where things are at the moment. When the deer became more dear to him than his dearmost object of worship, which was Lord Vishnu, the Shaligram, his sadhana is getting affected. The object of affection is getting, is transforming. That person who left his big kingdom, wife, children, said that we can't easily give up the broken language of the young child, attractive wife, nice sons, then we definitely have had grandsons, and all that he was able to leave it aside and come. And as Prabhupada was saying, as you are trying to progress in bhakti, Maya is working her own ways to test. It has come to a point where he is trying to elevate a deer which is of the lower consciousness to that of today's verse. What is he trying to call the deer as?
Prince.
Rajakumara. So being situated in a position of I'm the eternal servant of the Lord, in the position of Jiva, Swarupa, Prophet Krishna, and Nityadas, you have given up all these kingdom, wealth, friends, relatives, everything is set aside. Now you have come here. But from there, again, the body consciousness is coming up. I am king, so my son, which is the not actual son, which is a deer. And he is calling that as Rajakumara. And in the Bhagavad we see, out of affection, anyone can be addressed as anything. Anyone can be addressed as anything. So, morning routine is gone. Waking up by chanting Gayatri, he is waking up by thinking about where has the deer gone, what will happen. In the middle of the sadhana, gets up and see where has the deer gone, is it safe? Is it something similar to what we are going through? When we are sitting down to do our sadhana, the same thing happens. One day I was looking at my own distractions. It is because of me trying to take up the role of something else other than what I am when I am doing devotional service. Devotees who are doing daily worship can help me with this. What do you say or how do you situate yourself before you start your devotion, your daily worship? You purify yourself externally, you put on new clothes, are devoted to your ashram, you touch different parts of the body, then you make some strong declarations. You have been doing this for many years. And take mind for the Pope Guru and tell you what is that sankalpa that you take, how do you situate yourself? Mind.
Hare Krishna, as sacred oneself as the servant of one spiritual master,
yes,
and servant of the Parampara, and declaring that I am going to worship the Lord through the Parampara.
Yes. So this set of prayers is called Bhuta Sudeshan.
Yes. There is Bhuta Sudeshan prayers, so this is part of the Bhuta Sudeshan.
So, I am not a Brahmana, I am not a Vaishya, I am not a Kshatriya, I am not a Shudra. Naham Vipro, Nasya Narapati, Nanti Vaishya, Nan Shudra. But I am the servant of the Supreme Lord. Kirtu Krodhya, Nikhila Paramahamda, Purna Amritabde, Bhopi Parachu, Pada Kamalayo, Dasa, 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 that's me. That's my actual identity. So, all that is lost for Bhagavan. When you sit down for worship, have you ever seen any pujaris doing their worship, coming out and checking out what's happening outside and then going in? So nobody does it. So here that's what is happening. You can gradually see the distraction has come to a point where his undivided attention to the shaligram, to the object of the worship, to the paraphernalia, and all that is getting diverted. Just by his affection towards the deer. So he gets up and he sees. And now it has gone to a point where I am king and my son is also Rajakumara. Which means he is addressing as Rajakumara, which means I am a Kshatriya, I am a king and my son is also a prince. So you have changed the consciousness. How you actually be supposed to be situated. And there is no distraction. You are not the king. You have come to a place where there is no distractions. And you don't have any responsibility. So, coming back to my own introspection, when the distractions come, I am putting on the role of something else. So I will save somebody, or I will think of somebody who I met in book distribution or who I am trying to help or trying to counsel. So you are thinking about them when you do your serving. That's when we should understand and know that it has come to a point where it is affecting my own serving. Then you should draw a line and be careful. So, these distractions are due to you assuming a role which you are not supposed to assume when you are doing your sadhana. So, that's when distractions come. One, maybe probably should get a chair to go. You start to think about saving others, then you are supposed to save yourself. Because that's the time when you are getting spiritually such. A lot of us use the phone. So the amount of care that we take care of the phone when we put it for charging, do we keep plugging it out again and again when we are charging the phone? No. Believe me. That much care at least we should give for taking care of our own sadhana. We are plugging in to the process of surcharging ourselves with the spiritual potency after having done the morning program or the sit on the chanting. That's a program, sorry, that's a time when you are getting connected to the spiritual. So you are getting your nourishment. At that time, we should not take up roles which we are not and get distracted and go on thinking about those distractions. That becomes your object of meditation rather than the holy name. The same applies when you're doing daily worship. is where Mahatma Prabhu, Prabhupada said. He writes in his japa affirmations. Affirmations are a set of strong declarations that you make before you begin. And this way, Bhujan Prabhu also writes. You take a sankalpa, you make a sankalpa before you begin to chant, that I will chant this round attentively. So, Mahatma Prabhu's affirmation is very simple but very profound. When I chant, I chant. Can you all repeat? When I chant,
I chant.
It's simple and very profound. When you're doing that actively, you do that. When I chant, I chant. Nothing else comes in between me and the Holy Spirit. That's a high standard. I'm not there yet. Working on it. But we can take the help of those devotees who have been in this process for a long period and through their realizations as we sing Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitite Koriya Akya. So the words coming out of the mouth of the Guru, that clears our consciousness. Arna Koriyo Mane Asha, nothing else. So that Chitite is that clearing the consciousness. By what? By the words coming out from the mouth. So Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. So that clears your consciousness and gives real perception. Otherwise you will be in moha, which is what we want to look at in detail. So we understood Bharat Maharaj's previous position, what is his current fact, what's the situation he is in now, and what is the problem. And today's purport is talking about moha. So when I was trying to bit more research on this. The first thing that came to my mind is when Priyavan Maharaj was giving this, is Brahma the cause of our problems? Does anyone remember that? Prabhupada Maharaj gave a talk here. What did he pick up on? What was the word that he picked up on?
Sorry, can you just clarify? You mean Lord Brahma or Brahma that is?
Yeah, Lord Brahma, is he the cause of our problems?
Thank you.
So in his usual style, which is got the topic is got a hook, but the actual technical details of the verse is from 3.12.2, which is describing the five kinds of we're going to immerse ourselves in the ignorance and then we come out of it as well. So Brahma first created the nascent engagements like self-deception, the sense of death, anger from frustration, the sense of false ownership, and the illusory bodily conception or forgetfulness of one's real identity. This is the verse which Maharaj spoke upon. Then this kind of so. Sasagre Andha Tamishram Adha Tamishram Adhikru Mahamohamcha Mohamcha Tamaschanya Vrittaya. Nascent engagements. Mahamoham, Moham. Moham is what we are discussing about. We will discuss the corollaries as well. Tamishra, Andha Tamishra, Moham, Mahamoham, Tamaha. So, we have a sort of knowledge which is starting to do it. Sasagre Andha Tamishram. So, self-deception. So, you're deceiving yourself. You're actually not what you are. You're taking up something else. Then, the sense of death, Tamishram, is anger upon frustration. Tamasham is anger upon frustration. Antartamasham is sense of death. So, you know, remember, then we can recollect, you know, tell these points. Mahamoham is the ownership of enjoyable objects, taking ownership of enjoyable objects. Moham, illusory conception. Tamaha, darkness in self-knowledge. So how many have you seen? Andhra Tamasham, then Tamasham, second, then Mahamoham, Moham, Tamaha. Okay. So Prabhupada, in his purport to this verse, writes, the first condition of material existence is forgetfulness of one's real identity. And by forgetting one's real identity, one is sure to be afraid of death. So one leading to the other. Although a pure living soul is deathless and worthless, that's what explained few minutes ago, so it's perfect timing. This false identification with material nature is the cause of false ownership of things which are offered by the arrangement of the superior control. So pausing this and reflecting on what's happening to Bharat Maharaj is, the nature is offering a type of enjoyment through behavior, to take, nourish it, fondle it, take care of it, feed grass, treat like your own, Raja Kumara, forget your own puja. So he is entering into all that deception, sense of false ownership, illusory bodily conception. I am king, my son should also be a prince. So taking control of material resources that are offered and taking ownership of it. Due to false identification, the conditioned soul becomes entrapped by the false sense of ownership of the property of the Supreme Lord. So many deers are giving birth to young ones. So many tigers are chasing the deers in so many forests. Can I, as a single person, go and protect all the deers from all the tigers and jackals and whatnot? Can I do that? No, because I am not Krishna. There is one verse which says, Jivo Jivasya Jivan. One living entity is a food for others. Okay, you took care of the deer, pets and grass, and your prime focus is that of your sadhana. But when that is getting affected, it comes to a point. From a point finally, you don't see, okay, it became the food of something else, some other animal. It's part of the natural ecosystem. One living entity is the food for the other. So, one becomes detached and you continue on with your own sadhana. And what is preventing is these layers of covenants. So you think you can protect, you think you can, you take ownership and you attach yourself to it. And then there are nascent activities. So activities related to maintaining the deer at the sake of giving up your sadhana. There's nothing wrong in taking care, provided you've done your sadhana first. And you could affect the remnants of your puja, the worship, to the deer, or chanted mantras in the ear of the deer. That's what Prabhupada encourages devotees to do. You see living beings and you want to show compassion to them, you chant a Hare Krishna mantra to them. Mother Govinda Dasi, she recollects in the video as to how Prabhupada instructed her to do it. A little snake or little insect which looks very ugly. People go through and see it. Mother recollects how Prabhupada was very compassionate. Show compassion to that living entity by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So when you see a snail on your pathway, instead of stepping on it, playful way. What do you do? Chant. Hare Krishna. Sometimes birds come to the ashram. They get stuck and then they think that they'll go out and there'll be a glass. They'll go and kick against the glass. Seen that? You already have experience. So we have to catch the bird and take it out. So we have to be careful. So sometimes the birds which have strong beaks and which are very agitated, they might hurt your hands. You need to put a towel. So you throw the towel, wrap that without crushing, take it out and leave. I've seen Jaranathola from doing it and I've seen it a couple of times. Because they come and mess up the place. You can show compassion with them. That's where devotees cook and offer, so that place is getting spoiled. So you take on the way, you can chant Hare Krishna and then get the, leave the bird out. Once I did, it was just, I didn't even have a towel to catch it, and I didn't expect I would catch it, so it was there inside and it was trying to go to the other rooms and all that. So somehow my reflex was quick, so I caught the bird, which I didn't expect it. So brought it, was soft, nice, wow, nice bird, nice feathers. And then it came out, held the bird for a few minutes, chanted Hare Krishna, and then left it off. So that's how it ends. So I can't be the proprietor in the ashram sitting and waiting for every bird to come and catch and be there. That's not my part of my sadhana. So if we get into that deception, we will lose what we are actually meant to do. So dwelling a little more deep into this moha, tama and all that. Tamas means ignorance of the swarupa of the jiva. That's tamas. So this is from Krishna Chaitanya purports of 3.12.2. Tamas means ignorance of the swarupa of the jiva. Moha means identification of the self with the body. Moha, that's what moha means, identifying the self with the body. Mahamoha means you are applying possessiveness of objects of enjoyment. You are thinking this is mine, I can enjoy. And if you can't enjoy, anger comes, and that anger may lead you to death. That is tamisha, means anger. Under tamisha is death, which is due to anger. Tamisha means the appearance of anger within the mental functions when what you want to enjoy is being obstructed or taken away from you. And under tamisha means unconscious state brought by anger. So going on deeper into moha, another definition is, so first definition we saw for moha, the word to word meaning is illusory conception. Second is identifying the self with the body. Third meaning of moha is having very simple meaning, mistaken identity of oneself within one's mind. That is moha. Mahamoha is having a desire to enjoy material objects. So these are the details of ignorance, and then moha, mahamoha, tamisha, and the tamisha. So when I was thinking of this particular section, the solution part of it, and also to know the problem in a more detailed way, that is also part of the solution, is the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, one of the verses, which describes as to how Maya functions. As Prabhupada writes in the beginning of this, Maya also functions or prepares its own way to distract us. This is Chatushloki, the second one, 2.9.34. How ignorance of avidya functions. And then the qualities. We saw the constituents of ignorance and how ignorance is now going to act avidya by two ways. By obscuring Avarna and then creating confusion, which is Vikshepa. So what does this obscuring mean? Obscuring means an object is real, it is in front of me, but I can't see it. I'm not able to perceive it. That is avarna or obscuring effect of Maya. And this is done through avidya. The second is vikshepa or confusion. Seeing unreal objects. What was the first one? First one is, an object is real, still I don't perceive it. This mind doesn't exist. No, it's real, it's working. If I don't perceive things which are in front of me, which are real, then that is avarna or obscuring. Hey, do I hear a siren going on somewhere? Some siren sound going on? Do you hear? Yes? No? No. So, perceiving something which is not actually happening, that is vikshepa, confusion. Do you hear that? No? You can hear the sound of the fan. But I confuse that to be a siren. And then I call it, that is perceiving unreal objects. Okay? With avarna, non-apprehension of real objects. Vikshepa is apprehension of unreal objects. So far, everyone is with me? So, how does this apply to Bharat Maharaj? Who would want to try to explain? How does this concept is now applied to Bharat Maharaj's situation? How does obscuring, what is he obscured of? Who would like to try?
The real he is seeing, he is perceiving it as a prediction, which is not the real.
Okay, so that is vikshepa, that's good. So he is seeing a deer as his own son, which is not. He is seeing unreal things, an apprehension of unreal objects, which is vikshepa. And what is he missing out? Who would like to? What is the real object that he is failing to see?
Krishna.
Krishna, there you go. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. That vastu, substance, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relationship to me, has no reality. Know it to be a product of my illusory energy. That reflection which appears to be in the darkness. This is another verse that came to my mind when I was reading about avidya. How can we protect ourselves? We're going to discuss strategies. One of them is this type of shloki, Bhagavatam. Whatever appears to be of any value, vastu, substance. Because he had Krishna, his eyes were filled with tears out of ecstatic symptom that he couldn't perceive outside objects. We read that in the previous chapter. He was at that level. He had vastu, which is Bhagavan Bhakti. That is vastu, that is real substance. No. But then he traded that with something which is very cheap and he is losing, in the process of losing and he is getting covered. So, for us to check, is this, has it got any value? Is it got any relationship with the Lord? If not, it is a product of my usury. And this is Lord saying, Lord's own words. The context of Chatushwari Bhagavatam in brief is that Brahma wants to know how your illusory energy functions. Because he is going to be engaged in the service of creation. So he needs to know how he should not be entangled in his service. So Prabhupada writes in one of the purports of this particular section, as devotees we can engage in material activities, but we shouldn't get entangled by them. Which means we should know what we are getting into, and when to draw the line, when to draw the boundary, and when to exit, when to come out. So if we don't know, we will be caught. So we are seeing that is Shri Bhagavatam, where we are seeing how Maya is functioning through making you see objects which are not real, and that is vikshepa, apprehension of unreal objects, and avaran, which is obscuring. Whatever is real, that you don't see, which is in front of you. It happens sometimes to me when I go and take darshan and I come up to somebody, ask me what color the deities are wearing. I can't fully recover because you just gaze, you just had a, there was not a proper focus. What was real? Bhagavan is real. We don't see. Because for you to perceive, the sense object, the sense organ, the mind, and the consciousness all have to be in one line. If not, you won't be able to see that which is in front of you. Because you are preoccupied with something else. The sense object is there, the sense is there, the mind is somewhere else, then you won't be able to see that is real in front of you. And you will be seeing something else in your mind's eye. Manorate Nasati Tarashobhi. You will be writing the side of your mind. Is there next plate of prasadam ready? Is somebody saving prasadam? Is there fruits? Somebody saving fruits? All that will put my ways in this and go out. So the fruits will be there. But the real fruit of bhakti is devotion. That is the Lord. It is His mercy is coming out as prasadam that I am thinking about when I am seeing Him. So we have defined ignorance, the nascent activities, and we also saw how we are getting covered. We are not able to see that which is real, and we are seeing that which are unrealistic. We will, the next part of the discussion, we will focus on solutions, how to come and test upon some of the solutions. Seeing things as they are, tattva darshana, jnana tattva darshana. So, those who are seers of the truth, they will tell you what is real, what is untrue. They will help you to differentiate between what is got value, what is got no value, what you should focus on, where you should put your affection towards. Because showing affection is not a problem. That's a compassion. But what is problem is misplaced compassion, and you are getting dragged into someone else's life and trying to fix someone else's problem. So the principle that we can take from this lesson is first principle that came to my mind is take the association of Guru and Sadhus very deeply, so that when you are tested, you will be able to pass the test. As Krishna says, if you are consciousness of me, you will overcome all the problems or obstacles and you will come out successfully. So taking the instructions of Guru and Sadhu and taking their association very strongly and following what their instructions are, as we saw, maybe when I chant, I chant. So those principles we follow, and then we tell to ourselves that I have tried my best to do them, so that the at least see how we are getting trapped, or when we are about to get trapped, we know. Because now the, just to give a real example, the cricket matches are going on. So when you want to learn from your mistakes, how did I get out by this? So then you will analyze, this is how the bowler came, this is how he tricked. He is supposed to bowl a Yorker, but he twisted his hands, he became a slow ball, and I was charging up. And then he would caught it, and then I was stuck. So you analyze step by step, which means that requires introspection. So the power of introspection we need to have. If not, there is a prayer in the Bhagavatam where Lord Brahma is praying to give me the power of introspection and give me the power to see things as they are. So we fell down, we got caught, or we lost a wicket. And how we bounce back is by introspection. Going step by step and analyzing. So it is part of your own sadhana. Shravanam, kirtanam, niti dhyasanam means introspection. How can I apply my life? And how can I change myself? So that is part of learning as well. So one has to consciously take time to do. Other principle is, when we are trying to uplift somebody spiritually, we should check whether am I spiritually fit to uplift that person? Am I strong enough to do it? If yes, then take on that as a service. Consider yourself as a medium, nimitta matram, and it is the Lord who is doing it through me. If I have the spiritual potency, strength, I take it and I do it. If not, I redirect them to somebody who is more spiritually qualified than me to guide them. You can give them the basics, but the problem that you are trying to fix, actually you can't fix anyone else's problems. That's a big deception, that I can fix someone else's problem. What we can do is we can facilitate, we can remove the coverings and make them see what their actual problem is and facilitate so that they see their problems and we give them the strength by which they can overcome their problems. The illusion that I can fix other problems that we need to give up. Because I heard from many senior devotees, and when I heard this, I felt that seems to be a rude statement, but when I applied myself, yes, they are not trying to be indifferent, but they are realistic. We facilitate them to see their problems and fix them. We give spiritual solutions to those problems. So we can't fix their material well-being because that is fixed. We can't change it, but we can add spiritual strength to them so that they can overcome them. So the principles that are coming out is I can't fix others' problems, but I can be a medium, that is, I can give them spiritual knowledge. And I am not the supreme father or mother or the well-wisher or the supreme friend. Who is that? That is the Lord. So I can't play the role of the Lord. So I am just a medium. Is the Lord who's doing it. Then we know when to get in, step in, safe, and when to step back, hand over, and be detached. This expands into the next principle of setting proper boundaries. You know, sometimes as devotees, we also want to give a lot to others, and it goes to a point where you are undernourished. And you're trying to help a lot, which means you are not able to set proper boundaries in relationships or when you're counseling. How we understand is if, by the symptoms that you exhibit, if in the morning before you even start to think about your own sadhana, if you're thinking about others' problems, how can I help them, how can I fix their problems, which means the consciousness is not polluted. It has gone to a point where in the morning, when you're supposed to think about fixing your sadhana, when it is that time for sadhana, when you're thinking about fixing others' problems, which means we are in moha, illusion. How to overcome that is the declaration or the affirmation which Gopapuru said, I am at this stage. I am not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, I am not a counselor, I am not a group distributor, I am not a temple president, vice president, whatever it is, I am not an accountant, lawyer, whatever material designation, spiritual, whatever. I am not, but I am Saraswati, Saraswati, gopis. So, in that way, when you see that the symptoms have gone to a point where you are, well, consciousness is getting affected, that their problems come to your mind straight away, that is a sign that you have gone too much. And you should track that. Have you ever felt that you counseled somebody or you distributed books and heard someone else's story or whatever it is, and that affects your consciousness? Nirgeshi Prabhu was once sharing as to how when doing books, he was giving book to Mataji, and the son seemed to be behaving a bit odd, so he had some issues. The root cause of the issue was because of the domestic violence. So Prabhu had to hear that details, I don't want to disturb. And that affected the boy, and that's the reason why the boy is acting like that. So imagine group distributors or counselors or carers who are hearing such stories day in and day out as part of their service. How do you protect yourself? That is done through a prayer of Prahlad Maharaj. And he prays to the Lord. 5.18.8 Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namastejas Tejase Avir Avir Bhava Vajra Naka Vajra Dhanushtra Karma Ashaya Randaya Randaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhurishta Om Shram. So devotees who are playing those roles, before you go out to save others, you protect yourself while you are dealing with them, chant prayers. After dealing with them, also come back again and chant these prayers, which is helping at the root level. Tamo, rasa, rasa. That's tamo is what we are fighting against. So you have taken on someone else's tamo. You have taken on someone else's samskaras there, and it is affecting yours. And it's gone to a point where your sadhana is getting affected. Then we draw the line, get into activity of cleaning and be more careful next time. So the solution point of view is from Chatushloki Bhagavatam, you can remember that, recite, and from the prayers for protection, for protecting your own chetana or your own consciousness, to get things out is through prayers. Another Prahlad Maharaj prayer, very specifically written for clearing consciousness, is 7.9.22. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes in his translation to this particular verse 7.9.22. O Lord, O Supreme Power, you conquer the material gunas contained in the Jiva's intelligence at all times by your Swarup Shakti. So this is Prahlad Maharaj praying to Lord Narasimhadev, 7.9.22. You are time which agitates the gunas. Here is this important point. You destroy ignorance in the subtle body. You destroy ignorance in subtle body. Please bring near you that person who has been thrown in the wheel that tree which has got the 16 spokes by ignorance and is being squeezed like a piece of sugar cane. If you have that verse, you can read it up in your phone, 7:9:22, and make a note of it. Chant. Sarvam vinitya vijitatma gunasva dhamna kalo vashikrita vrishidya visarka shakti chakre vishista madayeshvara shorashare nispi dhyaman upakasya vigo prapannam. 7:9:22. So to protect the sati body from ignorance. Because the first half of the discussion we dwelt deep in ignorance, now this is coming out of ignorance. Protecting yourself and especially ignorance coming from others. If you take that up as part of your service, how do you protect yourself? How do you prevent that from affecting your sadhana? Yeah, 7:9:21 is also the same purpose. 7:9:21 and 22 can be chanted. 5:18:8. The other prayer of Lord Brahma to give the power to introspect. That is 4:9:17. I'm sorry, that is Dhruva Maharaj's prayers. 4:9:17. Brahma's prayers for protection is 3:9:22. Yeah, so this is the power to introspect. 3:9:22 talks specifically about Brahma asking for the empowerment with introspection to create. As we saw, the basic coming out is you introspect, you analyze. How did this happen and how do I not do it again? That's another prayer. The final prayer that I want to conclude with is the prayers to the Skala Chakra is the none other than Sudarshana Chakra. In the hands of the Lord. So, when devotees come and they are not able to take darshan, the doors are closed. Still, you can see the Sudarshana Chakra. You've seen, have you tried that? You can go far, very far, and you still see the Sudarshana Chakra. And that's why in temples, Sudarshana Chakra is installed on top. Like, I'm there, and here to protect. Whenever the Lord wants to protect, the first thing that he sends for protecting Gajendra, he sends Sudarshana Chakra. That chakra is the Kala Chakra for protecting the devotees. Sudarshana Chakra is ready for action. I don't know the verse numbers, but in the ninth canto, Ambarish Maharaj is praised to Sudarshana Chakra. You can analyze that. Cannot repeat after me. Sudarshana Namaskodhyam.
Sudarshana Namaskodhyam.
Sahasrara Achyutapriya.
Sarvastra
Gatim Upraya. Swasti Bhuyati Daspate. So, this is a set of prayers that Ambarish Maharaj offers to Sudarshana Chakra so that Sudarshana Chakra does not burn the body of Durvasa Muni. This is also a prayer that we want. One pray for someone else's well-being, you can recite that. Especially this prayer is to protect the devotees. And since Sudarshan Chakra is also the Kala Chakra. This also helps in clearing the consciousness, the inside enemies, in a more faster, it's like emergency button that you press. In case of emergency call 220, in case of emergency we reach out to the Lord Sudarshan Chakra caller. This potency of Sudarshan Chakra is described nicely in the Bhagavatam, and also it has got the potency to clean the subtle body, which we are talking about, cleanliness of the subtle body. It's also described in detail by the Sri Sampradaya Acharya, Sri Vedanta Desikar, that he describes this Kala Chakram, which is the Lord. And the context is when the whole village was affected by an epidemic. Vedanta Desikar writes these prayers to protect his entire village from an epidemic by calling out Sudarshan Chakra. This prayer is unique in the sense that he describes all the 16 weapons in the hand of Sudarshan Chakra. He is considered as the king of weapons. Any weapon anyone has got, any demigods, even Lord Shiva's Rudra, Parasu, yeah. So the sword, all that is coming from Sudarshan Chakra. Indra's thunderbolt, Aidan, Ahamgajam. That is coming from Sudarshan Chakra. So when describing that, the point of avidya, avidya sotprakashena, vidya rupa chinatya. Avidya, this is what we talk about, ignorance is overcome by vidya rupena. Sudarshana means when you are so overwhelmed that you are not able to see clearly what is reality, what is not reality. And to see the real objects and to take away the unreal objects or perception of unreal objects. So that is done through Sudarshan Chakra, prayer to them. We can pass me the sheet of paper which is next to the computer. That's the printer. So yes. Avidyato Prakashena Vidyaruva Chinatya. Sudarshana is Prindhya, Sautva Tattva Darshana. So, this is the divine weapon of sword which cuts the ignorance. We can even see Krishna describing, cut the ignorance with the sword of knowledge, get up, stand up with determination and fight. So the weapon of knowledge, he tells the knowledge is a weapon. Yes. Another weapon in Sudarshana, with Sudarshan Chakra, is the fire with 100 mouths, Satamukhagni. So this fire empty from the mouth of this weapon, when meditated upon, burns the sins in the consciousness, the Chetana. Burns just like lamps burn insects. So we are talking about, we have taken on someone else's avidya, how to get it, how to purify your consciousness. Sambhuya salabhayante yatra papani dehina. This body is made up of sins, and on top of that we have taken on others' avidya as well. By meditating on the agni weapon, Sabhato Sadhapakarni Eti Shvarasyava. May this divine Ayurveda Agni protect you all, which means Vedanta Desikar is singing. So we can protect and pray for protection from for our consciousness. Sambhuya Salavayande Yatra Pavandeyina Sabhato Sadhapakarni Vakarni Eti Shvarasyava. In this way, analyze how Maya works by obscuring our vision and making us see each other unreal. In, we saw an application in that of Bharata Maharaj, how he is giving up that substance or vastu, which is bhakti, Bhagavan, and he is taking up the role of a person who is man covered by moha. He is seeing the deer as a prince, which is unreal. And as a, for protecting ourselves from the ignorance coming from others, their vibration, when that enters, first we need to prevent, set proper boundaries. But unforeseen circumstances, it has entered your consciousness, you pray to the Lord, to the most magnificent form of the Lord, Nityananda Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, also, because they go out and preach and they also protect Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, that he is able to change Jaga and Madhaya, also take their level of their level of avidya on him and clearing it out, and Mahaprabhu, they are capable of helping us also. Their prayers to Lord Nityananda and Mahaprabhu also, if you can sing. We also saw prayers to Lord Narasimhadev, Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, Brahma's prayers, to give us the power of introspection, and then prayers to Sudarshan Chakra. So, those who are playing the role of good distributors, or going to Harinam, or your care, or a counselor, you go out to distribute, then you protect yourself also. So this way, I thought we can share some points. I'll conclude here. I see there are many questions about what we discussed today. Yes? Anything you want to discuss today?
We should not stab. We should jab. But then, even when we see slugs or something, what if they bite us while we're chanting for them?
So, good question. She's using a little. She's starting to apply. You say that you stay at the safe distance and then chant. You don't have to go near it and poke your nose into the insect and do it. Stay at a safe distance and sing, where the soul can hear.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Yes.
I'm just looking for a reference to the prayers to Sudan Chakra besides.
So that's it.
So they're in Amrish Maharaj's prayers.
Yes, I can send you the video. It is from Vedanta this year.
Thank you.
I highly recommend you start reciting prayers from Bhagavatam. For extra references, and for our prime focus, prime management comes from Bhagavatam.
Thank you.
But I am happy to share that the prayers also. Because it is written in a way that Vedanta Deshika says that it is there to protect the pious people, to protect you from diseases and extreme dangers. So, I can share that. It's in the website. Is that your question?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, where is
that? Can
you just get
it? Sorry, where is that? Can you just get it? That's how you do it.
The prayer from Vedanta Deshika, it is from it is called Shodasha Ayuga Stotram. One is about 16, Shodasha Ayuga, 16 weapons. So that is what is named as Shodasha Ayuga Stotram. You can look it up, you'll be able to find it. Okay. Prakashina Bhagavan Kita Shakra.